allowing your sensitive awareness to notice how this moment is unfolding. And just remembering that you can participate in how this moment unfolds. Even if in a very light way, what you bring attention to, how you bring that attention. In the next minutes, we will transition from this way of meditating to another way of bringing attention. And they say the best way to transition from a meditation to another moment of experience is to not come all the way out. Like we used here, keep the balloon inflated. It's just a bell. So sometimes on the schedule it might say something like closing or something like that. We try and use the words that people use. Can you hear me? Yeah, great. Would we like a translation? I'm going to say some words, so maybe some people would like them in a better language. Would that be helpful for anyone? No? Gonna bear it. Let me know if you want anything that I say translated. So, closings, endings. I've never met one. They probably happen somewhere. Yeah, there might be an end to everything at some point. But very likely, it will actually be much more like a transition, changing its shape, changing its form. A lot of what we have here is going to be with us later on. Even though you deposited your phone, you got that back. You might have given up a lot of unhelpful habits of heart and mind here. I'm afraid you're going to have to take them back with you. We've got no way of recycling them here. You know, if you've been working on your posture, I'm afraid that you're going to have that bad posture. Back, he's going to have to come into the car with you. You could put it on the roof. I usually keep mine on the roof. Sometimes they fall off on the way home. So we're going to experience that all the things that we've been playing with here, what we pay attention to, how we pay attention, all of these qualities are going to be available to you. They're yours to keep. Yeah. How we bring our attention, how we develop our experience is what's going to really shape this. Yeah. So the best way of transitioning from a meditation into our life is whatever you cultivated, try and sustain it. Yeah. In the teachings, they talk about four great efforts. know, four great diligences, which is like to really be present with something and to really encourage it. And we've talked about them already. If you find yourself in Dukkhaville, leave. Find your way out. There's going to be a way out. This is conditioned. Look for the conditions and stop participating in conditioning them. Yeah. If you can, when you're not in Dukkhaville, support the conditions that will bring you into happiness, well-being, harmony, being gathered, being present. Yeah. And then you'll be supporting freedom for yourself and freedom for others. If you ever want extra motivation, it's, oh, I can't be bothered to do my practice. It's always helpful to imagine this is probably helpful for other beings, those I know and those I don't know. Yeah, so let's give it a go. Okay, it looks like a bit of a mess in here right now. And maybe just being with it for a couple of breaths might help to soothe, to ease the condition. Yeah. Okay, I'm going to take a risk and talk about something separate and then kind of come back, and I hope that it's all going to flow and make sense for you. So in England, in Britain, we had a comedy program. It ran in the 1980s. I used to watch it when I was growing up. I used to look forward to it. You may have heard of it. It may not have exported at all. It was called Only Fools and Horses. Did anyone know this? No, different than Monty Python. I'm sorry, I should have given you something a bit more popular, but this is a fun one. So in it, there's this kind of guy. He's not very intelligent, but he's very good-hearted. He's really one of the most lovable kind of characters you could meet. And he sweeps the roads. And he comes and he says, look, I've been given this medal. And then he explains he's been given a medal because he mentioned to the people in the council, right, in the Mozza, that he had had the same broom for 20 years. The same broom, just a regular kind of wooden broom with the bristles and the stick. He'd swept the streets for 20 years with the same broom, and they said, you know, they gave him this award for looking after his broom so well. And his friends are talking to him, and he holds up the broom, and it doesn't look like it's swept anything ever. It's in pristine condition. And they're like, do you ever sweep the roads? Like, they're not asking you about this, you know? And he said, yeah, no, I do the job. And this broom has been with me for 20 years. I've replaced the head 17 times, and I've replaced the handle 14 times. But it's the same broom all the way through. And so we can see that everything is made up of parts, and we create a construction around it. This retreat is made up of its parts, and we construct, I was on a retreat. Which moment of this retreat best expresses the retreat? Was it the really hard bits where I felt like leaving and it's just not working, my mind is crazy? Like, they're giving these instructions, but no one's been in here. They don't know what it's like in here. You can't do that stuff with this machinery, yeah? Or was it those times where it's like, I think I'm getting it. I might even be enlightened. You know, which of those? It's difficult to, it's both and. Retreats are made up of moments. It's made up of moments. And, you know, all of those parts that all of us are here together, if any one of us wasn't here, it wouldn't have been this retreat. Yeah, it's undeniable. It wouldn't have been the same. If you hadn't been here, if you hadn't journeyed in the ups and the downs, it wouldn't have been this retreat for any of us. Yeah, the way you've showed up, the way you've been here, all of this. And it's all so precious. Yeah. And yet, each of those parts and not the retreat. The retreat is something else. Something else. So if we take this example of Trigger's broom towards a retreat, you can see it's actually constructed the same way. Yeah? I've had the same retreat. I had this one retreat, but it was made up of these parts that just were really different. We changed the stick and we changed the head so many times, and yet we still feel like this was what we had. But what it comes down to, of course, is once again, what we're paying attention to, how we're paying attention to it. And that becomes the kind of suggestion, the encouragement of when we hold something, we can have this fixed idea, but it's helpful to come down, come inside, get closer, pay attention to actually what supported me to be here, what actually created this retreat for me. How is it possible that we take these individual parts, these individual moments, these individual bits of contact and vedana and perception, which from their own side are unsatisfactory, and we gather them together and we might say, that's a very satisfactory retreat. I feel satisfied. And I'm saying that for myself. I feel satisfied with what we've done here together. Yeah, but I also recognize that every single part of it is unsatisfactory. How does that mysterious thing happen? What's opened? What's here? What's present? The Dharma is in the ways of relating. The freedom is in the ways of relating, the ways of seeing. And we can bring that across into different experiences, challenging experiences. Do you remember those? Yeah. You're in one. Yeah. Okay. So, same thing. How is this coming together? Don't have to fix the whole thing. Yeah. Might have this feeling like, oh, I'm in this for a long time. But it's still only made up of this moment, of what I'm paying attention to, how I'm paying attention to it. And just remembering that can sometimes just lighten that load. I think that this relates to what the wonderful Israeli or person who grew up in this country, Daniel Kahneman. Is that how you would say his name? Kahneman? Yeah. Kahneman? Kahneman. Okay, nice. Like Hanuman. Kahneman. Anyway, doesn't matter. It's very empty. That he wrote this book, you know, Thinking Fast and Slow. This idea that we go very fast because we know what something is. When we're not sure what something is, we go slow. And that encourages the sensitivity. It also increases the potential for creativity. And so it can be helpful at times to say, this is not a retreat. This is not my partner. This is not myself. And it encourages that sensitivity. Yeah, it's not a rejection. It's just saying there's something else within this label, within this definition, that actually could open to something even more, more helpful, more beautiful. So if you remember one thing from what I say today, and you won't, you might, go slow. It's that invitation to go slow, to think slow, to not be in a rush, not try and do too much. Yeah, part of what supported us being on this retreat is the simplicity. Yeah, and it also supports us to be able to take a part at a time and consider, what does it need? Does it need metta? Does it need patience? Does it need spaciousness? Does it need to be seen as unsatisfactory? Do I need to remind myself that the satisfaction doesn't come from there? It may be challenging today in the transitions, in the conversations, in the experiences, how we're met, or how we notice that we're meeting life. It might be disappointment that it's not better. But the good news is, you've been meeting challenges over the days, and you've done really well here with meeting those. And so it's going to be challenging, but you're experienced in that. Remembering whatever it is that supported you here. That's an important reflection to make. And we've put up some more resources on the board, one of which is around this idea of wise and skillful speech. So we haven't been practicing that this much or that much over the retreat, you know, gone for the silence part. But it's going to take effort. Emphasize the listening, I would say. Yeah. Enjoy the listening to another. And when it's our turn to speak, enjoy listening to what comes through, the intelligence, the sensitivity. And again, don't be afraid to pause and go slow. Even if it's in the middle of a sentence, you can pause. And then people will think, you're weird. And then you will think, I'm happy you noticed. It's one of my core personality traits. I'm a bit weird. That's okay. So the specific tips that I find really helpful, this going slow, this keeping the balloon inflated for as long as we can. And when you notice that it's going down, don't despair. You can just inflate it a little bit more. How would a bit more metta look like now? How would a bit more spaciousness, whatever that is? When we bring this into our day-to-day living, something that's really important to start paying attention to is, what am I practicing? What am I getting better at? Do you know this saying, like, whatever you practice doing, that's what you'll get better at? And I remember reflecting at a certain time about my meditation practice, which had primarily become, a way of getting from the beginning to the end of the meditation practice with the minimum amount of unpleasantness, which meant I would kind of cultivate this dullness, and I would just kind of drift through that, and the bell would go, and I would pat myself on the back and go about the rest of my day. And then I thought at one point, what am I actually trying to get better at? Like, if I don't like meditation enough, if I don't see it as the possibility of cultivating more beneficial, beautiful qualities of heart and mind, which I feel I, or, in this case both, and, the world needs more of, patience, presence, softness, whatever it is, just making sure that our meditation practice represents that. One of the last teachings that our dear friend Rob Babea gave was to practice with intelligence. Practice with intelligence. So a couple of ways that you could mean that is this: practice what you want to get better at. Another way is, how long would it take you to do that? Any one of the practices that we've done today, a month doing that would not be too much. And maybe that's a good idea in our day-to-day practice, not just to have a practice which is about quantity, but actually about quality. Maybe we would focus too long or too much on how long do I sit or stand or walk or lie down. Were you thinking to do those practices? If not, why not? Do more of those. If you liked the walking here and you think a daily practice involves only sitting, do walking some days, yeah, or some of your practice period. So the intelligence is really invited for you to be sensitive with. What do you want to get better at? And are you willing to stick at it so we get to know it through all the different moods and mind states? Another great quote from Tanisaro Bhikkhu is, if you only meditate when you want to, you're only getting to know the part of you that likes to meditate. There are other parts in there. So if we practice when we don't want to, that's kind of fun. It's like meeting someone new and supporting them to feel good. Yeah. What do you like? Oh, I just like to hate everything. Oh, okay. Really? Second quality in all of this is don't be afraid of mistakes. Don't be afraid of mistakes. Mistakes are how we learn. There's a Zen story that says, you know, the novice just joined the camp, goes up to the master and he says, so how do you become a Zen master? And then the Zen master says, by completing 10,000 mistakes. And then he looks at this other one who's dressed in the novice robes but looks really kind of old, and he's like, well, what about him? Why is he not the Zen master? Hasn't he done 10,000 mistakes? And he says, no, he's done 10 mistakes 1,000 times each. So you can make mistakes, but you've got to learn from them. And that's sometimes the hard work. Try and not repeat them. In many ways, we can learn so much more from the novice monk than the master. Same here. We're always learning, practicing, supporting ourselves. So really want to encourage you to develop and sustain a daily life practice. It can be such a helpful thing. And what really supports that is community. You know, it's been so important, the community here that we've been supported in. So making sure that either virtually, as in through this wonderful interwebs, internet kind of thing that we have, you can sit with other people virtually, helps us to remember that other beings exist, yeah? And also be in the physical company of others, meet up with others, have conversations with others, do things other than meditation with people who like doing meditation. I think maybe it's known already that we like to go into Palestine and take friends to meet friends there. And that's something that we do as a kind of meditation. We actually practice meditation, we talk about meditation, and we also work for the well-being of our Palestinian neighbors here. So if you feel like you want to see like what it might be like to practice while crossing real, imaginary, green lines, red lines, boundaries, borders, distinctions, we can do that with our meditation practice. In a certain sense, there is nothing that cannot be meditated with. And if you see something that you want to see more of, feel encouraged to create that opportunity and invite others to do it if it's not already happening. But also with this sense of sangha, sometimes we feel, I'm sitting here on my own. What a ridiculous idea. How could you be the only person meditating? In fact, right now, you may or may not realize it, but we are being swamped in the radiation of metta that other beings are sending to all beings right now. Yeah? You just need to turn that dial, your metta dial, and it's like, hang on, that's a bit much. So be careful, you know, you can get overdosed. There's always someone else practicing. And when you practiced here, many of the times you closed your eyes and, you know, you didn't notice that we all popped out and we came back in at the end and then we go, well done, you did it again. You don't need us as much as you might imagine. And then you also need us so much more than you might imagine. So making sure that you keep the other fellow beings that support you and support what you believe in alive here. And taking some time today to think, to include how we might support ourselves. Feel free to stay in touch with all of us in any way it's helpful. You can find us, I'm sure. And also, as I mentioned in the Dana talk, if you haven't already, do check out Rob Babea. You know, you didn't mention the book? No. Oh, not the book. Oh.
I didn't.
Okay, so I thought you had. I thought I heard. Okay, but I also thought I heard it. So Rob Babea is one of the best teachers, in my opinion, that's ever lived. And unfortunately, he died as well. But before that, he delivered an enormous amount of teachings, which I think are remarkably helpful. So check that out. There's a link on the notice board to Dharma Seed. He also wrote a book, and recently members of the Tovana Sangha came together and translated that into Hebrew. And I hear it's a really good translation, really beautiful, carries across both the beautiful, accurate delicacy of language, the poetry of the whole thing, and that, you know, the precision and the feeling. You know, both of those are there and they're present. Or what we sometimes think of as the wisdom and the compassion of these teachings. And in our lives, I hope we're going to support both of those qualities, the wisdom and the compassion, as we go forwards. And so, yes, so the book is actually going to be for sale in the dining room after we're done here. The Hebrew version only, right? For those who wanted an English version, you'll have to get it elsewhere. So a real invitation, if you want to practice being peace, you can come with us into Palestine anytime you like, but also very soon we're going to finish here and we're going to go there. So this retreat for us has been getting supple and ready for meditation in action, in activity. But also there are many other ways that you can connect with us through the year, and hopefully we'll be back before too long. But yeah, this is a day for you to be sensitive and creative and support yourself being here, and we hope it does that. Yeah. So thank you for